There's really just one line in there that says mutation identified on tumor genomic testing that has clinical implications. You know, these tests are being done to identify, you know, therapy or a driver mutation in the cancer.
Welcome to GenotypeCast, a new podcast from Gray Genetics. Genetics isn't always black and white. News stories related to genetics often raise more questions than they answer. On GenotypeCast, we bring you insight from genetic counselors. I'm your host, Eleanor Griffith, a certified genetic counselor and the founder of Gray Genetics, an independent telehealth genetic counseling and consulting service.
These tests have gotten really big. That tumor normal sample is offered, you know, really as a filter for the somatic mutations, not necessarily as a high quality germline test.
Karen Huelsman is a licensed and board certified genetic counselor based in Cincinnati with over 18 years of clinical experience in hereditary cancer predisposition testing and coordination of risk-based management. A pioneer in cancer genetics, she founded the first regional Southwest Ohio Cancer Genetics Program in 1994. She has provided clinical services to oncology patients at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and now at TriHealth Cancer Institute. She is a consultant for Soteria Precision Medicine Foundation. Karen works as part of a large and dynamic oncology team and contributes to standards in oncology care. Her current role as a precision medicine oncology genetic counselor provides unique insights to the application of clinically actionable germline and somatic mutations. So, Karen, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you virtually.
Yeah. So NCCN recently came out with new guidelines. Some of the updates in the guidelines related to somatic tumor testing, which is an area that you have a lot of expertise and experience in. Can you talk to me a little bit about what those updates are?
Sure. I think this year, somatic tumor testing has really become an even more important aspect of oncology and also genetic counseling. And so the NCCN guidelines that just came out in the past month, which are version 1.2021, really bring somatic mutations, I would say even more broadly, into the hereditary cancer testing space. The guidelines were adjusted in a way such that a mutation identified on tumor genomic testing or somatic tumor testing used to be just BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutations would be eligible or meet criteria for inherited or germline testing. But now the guidelines have been expanded so that any gene that has clinical implications, if it were identified in the germline, is eligible for genetic testing in blood or saliva. So that has really, broadened the range for patients who are eligible for this. And I think really pulled in the role of the genetic counselors in this space. As a hereditary cancer counselor with, you know, years of experience, even I can't always look at a report and know if there's an inherited implication if that mutation was found on germline. So I have to spend a lot of time screening reports.
Are you seeing changes in your practice with this update in guidelines in terms of the oncologists that you work with? Were you already involved in the somatic tumor testing and reviewing those reports and identifying which patients should have germline testing? Or is that something that's going to kind of change how you practice in the referral flow?
Well, my role has definitely evolved. I would say over the last 5 years, our team of medical oncologists at TriHealth have started ordering more tumor testing. Primarily, those started out as somatic only, but now we're seeing tests that include somatic and germline component. And even back then, they asked for support from the genetic counseling team, which was wonderful. But I'll admit, at that time, I was hesitant. I had a lot of experience in the hereditary world with genes like BRCA1 or Lynch. I wasn't really sure what the role would be for me as a genetic counselor in the somatic realm, but it did sound really interesting. And I have to say, I've learned, you know, a lot of new skill sets and has allowed me to work even more closely with the medical oncology team. So currently I'm reviewing all the somatic tumor reports that come through. And so that's allowed me to put an eye on each one and give some feedback to the medical oncologist.
Do you, when you're reviewing those reports, do you have the benefit of family history too, or just some personal history information about the patient?
Well, you can imagine that patients who have met with a genetic counselor already, you know, we have a complete 3 to 4 generation pedigree, but patients who have not met with a genetic counselor, we have to rely on the family history that's in the EMR. And what's interesting is, you know, when there is a mutation identified, like let's say PALB2 somatically, and then we, you know, pursue it from a hereditary standpoint, you will find more family history, you know, when you contact these patients as a genetic counselor and explore that, like you may find out that there is a family history of, you know, breast or pancreatic cancer in that situation that was not previously, you know, recognized or reported by the patient. So, yes.
So when you're reviewing these reports, you said that you review every report of somatic testing in your institution. What are you looking for? What are the elements that you're focusing on?
Right. So, you know, these tests are being done to identify, you know, therapy or a driver mutation in the cancer. But when I look at it from a genetic counseling perspective, you know, I'm definitely looking at other elements. So I look at all the variants that are identified either somatically and or germline if there was a normal sample submitted. But, you know, sometimes the tests don't always show exactly what the oncologist is looking for, which is, you know, something that predicts a personalized and effective treatment. I always kind of, in the back of my mind, think of this like a box of chocolates in the Forrest Gump movie. Like, you just never know what you're going to get. And, you know, sometimes patients with advanced cancer find that this is a wonderful tool to explore options for therapy, but sometimes they, you know, kind of come up empty-handed where there isn't an actionable variant for therapy. So, you know, when I'm looking at it from a genetic counselor perspective, I am looking at any variants that are identified, actionable or not, that could have some implication in the germline world. And, you know, these tests have gotten really big. They started out with single genes like EGFR to hotspots, and, you know, now we're doing next-gen sequencing. So that can have, you know, as much as 650 genes that are evaluated. And even with some of the things like whole exome somatic testing, you will find coverage of, you know, average of 20,000 genes, of course. So when I go through the report, you know, I start by looking at things, you know, that come back earlier. So I will look at microsatellite instability or MMR, and that's something that genetic counselors are accustomed to looking at as a prediction for Lynch syndrome. I also look at things like the tumor mutation burden, which looks at the number of mutations in cancer cells, and that can be an indicator for immunotherapy. I'll also kind of screen the IHC for PD-L1, and then also look at, you know, some of the labs are doing whole transcriptome analysis with RNA sequencing, which may not be an indicator, you know, for something for hereditary testing, but it's pretty interesting because it can predict sometimes the origin of cancers of unknown primary. So it can, you know, kind of put me back on track as far as what I'm reviewing as a genetic counselor. Some of the labs have also started offering somatic HRD or homologous recombination deficiency testing, which can help identify you know, whether that patient might be sensitive to PARP inhibitor therapy. But you know, as I go through these reports, you know, sometimes they're 12 or 20 pages long. There's really a lot to look at, and the volume of these tests is growing at our institution, and I'm sure, you know, many others. And some of the labs are starting to offer that germline, what I call screen, which is where a matched blood sample or matched saliva sample is submitted. And so sometimes you just have the germline mutations, you know, falling right out there on the report, and they're very obvious. So sometimes it takes a little bit of insight looking at the report. It's not an exact science, but if I see a gene like BRCA1 and 2, that's kind of low-hanging fruit that are, you know, those gene mutations are most likely to be inherited. But sometimes a gene like APC or maybe TP53 are more likely to be somatic, especially in certain tumor types. I also look at allele frequency. So, you know, we might expect that if a mutation were germline, it might be close to 50% allele frequency, but there's a wide a wide range of allele frequency so that you can't always use that. And then I try to put together pieces of information like, well, you know, what tumor type is this? And, you know, is there a family history that correlates? So, you know, it circles back to those really interesting new NCCN guidelines that state we should offer hereditary cancer testing for any somatic mutation found in the tumor if it has clinical implications in the germline. So, you know, if you see like CHEK2 or MLH1 or even, you know, BRIP1, we should offer germline testing. And I think genetic counselors are uniquely trained to follow up with patients and their families to do that and to also include some of the cascade testing. So I did mention earlier about labs that are including a matched blood or a matched, saliva sample. And so,
would you say, is that the same as the paired tumor testing, or is the, when the term paired testing is used, is that more diagnostic instead of just a screen?
Right. That's a great question. I feel that the labs that are offering, and I don't want to speak for every lab, but offering, you know, matched tumor testing in general, I think that that tumor normal sample is offered, you know, really as a filter for the somatic mutations, not necessarily as a high quality germline test. So I think, you know, there are certain types of mutations like large rearrangements that are not going to be detected reliably on those tests. So I think a germline test that, you know, did not turn up a mutation from one of the somatic labs, yeah, I don't know that you can always say that that's a clear negative germline test. I think if the tumor type or the age of onset or the family history dictates a germline test, that should be run in addition to the matched blood or saliva sample. So it's really tricky, but I do see things like, let's say, PALB2 showing up on a somatic tumor test report, but it's not seen in germline. And so, you know, in that case, I have to try to figure out, is it because the blood sample analysis, you know, didn't include all the bells and whistles that we might see at a germline lab? Or is it because it's just, you know, simply not there in germline? So I do a lot of checking on ClinVar, and I do a lot of checking with germline labs. But in the end, after I've, you know, reviewed every report that comes through our institution, I'll typically generate a short little note in the EMR with my conclusion about any genes that potentially should be tested in germline or confirmed, or, you know, that should be cascaded down to the family. And so that way the medical oncologist will know if we should follow up with the patient or not.
Yeah. And with the new NCCN guidelines, are they saying that any patient who has a somatic tumor mutation, they should have diagnostic genetic testing done, or that screening that they're already doing with the paired tumor testing is adequate, or is it not necessarily clear? Is that open to interpretation?
Yeah, I think there's some interpretation there. I think most genetic counselors are familiar with the NCCN guidelines for hereditary cancer testing criteria, and they, you know, of course, include things like personal history of breast cancer at a young age or Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry. And there's really just one line in there that says mutation identified on tumor genomic testing that has clinical implications. And so, you know, I think right now we owe it to patients to follow up with a quality germline analysis when they, you know, do meet that criteria. But I also see a day, I think very soon, really, where maybe we'll start to see higher quality paired testing on a somatic and a germline level. And I really think that's where the hereditary and the somatic worlds are, I think, so very, very close to coming together. And so I think, you know, again, that's a great opportunity for someone trained as a genetic counselor to work in that somatic space and, you know, help the team in identifying those germline mutations and following up. But I think, you know, as a group or as a team, you know, for the medical oncologists, I think genetic counselors can learn a lot from them as well. So I think it's a wonderful partnership that I've really enjoyed.
If you are a certified genetic counselor and would like to come on GenotypeCast to talk about an issue related to genetics in the news, send an email to podcast@graygenetics.com.
The information contained in this podcast does not constitute medical advice and is also not a substitute for genetic counseling. Neither Gray Genetics nor any of its guests makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this podcast. Evaluation of an individual's personal and family health history is a crucial part of genetic counseling and any recommendations.